by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
I now don't know what to do. Where's the Elvis? Hey, brother.
Did I throw you off a bit?
Just a little bit. Hey, welcome, everybody. Welcome to Cairo Nights. Happy Friday to you. Happy weekend to you. Happy first weekend of fall. I don't know if your life feels different because it's officially fall. I've never kind of been a guy that saw the equinox as a life driver. You know, the autumnal or the vernal equinox. It's autumnal is the fall one, right? It's the fall equinox. Beginning, and days have already begun to get shorter, of course. It's already, you know, dimmer and darker than it was just a week ago on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening. You know, it already feels like we're losing those daylight hours. And we haven't even got we fall back, we get an extra hour. But then, of course, you go to work in the dark. Not you and I, Matt. You and I go to work. You and I go to work when everybody else is going to happy hour. This is a happy hour. Every hour of this show is a happy hour. So I don't mind coming to work at 7 o'clock
at night.
And
we should mention why we started off with Bruce, too.
No, we shouldn't. No, okay.
Well, there's no, not well, like we need
wait a minute,
reason,
wait a minute, wait
but
a
there
minute.
Is a
yeah,
reason.
Right. Anybody who doesn't know that it's Bruce Springsteen's 73rd birthday, I don't want to know you. I'm kidding. Happy birthday, Bruce Springsteen. You know, it's funny that I mentioned this to Matt because it's kind of hit me on a personal note. Because you know me, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. If you know anything about me, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. I think I've seen Bruce in concert 53, 54 times, I think, over the course of my life. Started when I was a 15-year-old and got hooked for life. A lot of you guys don't really – never get it. You know, it's funny. Bruce never was big in Seattle as he was, at least, you know, on the East Coast, of course. But even in Portland. Even Portland was a bigger Bruce city than Seattle was. Vancouver's a bigger Bruce city than Seattle. Seattle just never really, didn't buy in. It didn't click here for the most part, despite Steve Slayton. Steve's sense of me is Steve Slayton's genuine effort to make Bruce a household name in the Northwest. Bruce, of course, Steve, of course, KSW legendary disc jockey Steve Slayton, should be a member of the Radio Hall of Fame. And by the way, Dave Ross, our own Dave Ross nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame, and a worthwhile inductee, if there ever was one.
Also, did you check out his sneakers? Well, I thought they were his sneakers. They were actually G. Scott's. But, man, Dave was styling this morning.
I didn't see Dave this
check
morning.
Check out the Cairo Facebook page. See okay. Dave Ross in some of the coolest kicks you will ever see.
Were they G's sneakers? And Dave borrowed them?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying to me?
For this photo.
Oh, okay.
It was quite impressive.
Because if G lent Dave a pair of sneakers for a photo... That's what I'm getting from this. Somebody, would you lend somebody your shoes? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm off the map here, but I've never heard of lending someone your shoes.
Well, it's so they can walk a mile in them.
Oh, you know what? I'm not big on my Native American, you know, proverbs that's cool. Oh my goodness, nice shoes. Wow. So it's Bruce's birthday. Happy birthday, Bruce Springsteen of Freehold, New Jersey. Freehold's native son, Bruce Springsteen. And I was mentioning to Matt that I posted on my personal Facebook page today, the Spike O'Neill Facebook page, that happy birthday to the hardest working man in show business. You know, thanks for all the years of inspiration and companionship. And folks are really sweet. A lot of people responded to it. I get a lot of juice when I put something on Facebook for the most part. Mostly it's get a real job messaging. But, you know, people are nice. Although I got a message from my aunt who lives back east. And I haven't seen her. I saw her actually about a year ago. But that was the first time in a couple years. I haven't had the opportunity to travel back east as often as I used to do. I used to make maybe a semi-annual, you know, a pilgrimage back east to see friends and family. And given the trying economic times and the reset of my adult life that we started a few years back, I haven't had a chance to get back and see family as often as I'd like. So I posted a nice picture of me and Springsteen taken at the Springsteen book signing up on Capitol Hill a few years back, maybe 4 years ago, and maybe 5 years ago, when Bruce wrote his Born to Run memoir. And of all the years of stalking Bruce Springsteen that I've put in, I have a hard time, believe me, I put my time in stalking Bruce Springsteen. I never got a chance to meet Bruce until I actually had to pay for the privilege, which I was happy to do, you know, happy to buy the autographed copy of Born to Run and wait in line to shake Bruce's hand and see him and thank him for the inspiration and for, you know, and I think I've told this already, but it gave some diatribe about what his music has meant to me over the years. Then when security separated Bruce Springsteen and I and asked me to move on so the next person in line could have their moment with Bruce, yeah, that was embarrassing. But I didn't care because I got back in line because I bought a second copy because I wanted to finish what I was saying to Bruce and got back in line and waited again and got back to him. And he looked at me when I got back second time. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, come on, man. We're going to finish this. Let me finish that hug we started an hour ago. Anyway, so I wish Bruce a happy birthday today, and my aunt wrote a nice message. Happy birthday, hon. I love and miss you. And I'm thinking, how does my aunt know Bruce Springsteen? And then I figured, oh, no, my aunt doesn't know my birthday. And I'm like, okay, well, that's that'll bring you back to earth. That's ego shattering. But that, you know, come on, she's my aunt, not my mom. I'm pretty sure my mom knows my birthday. My mom passed away, though, by the way. But I knew my mom always knew my birthday. My mom always called me my birthday. Not my aunt's job to know my birthday. It's my aunt's job to know her kids, my cousin's birthdays, not mine. So I'm torn now, Matt. Should I message my aunt and just say, hey, thanks. Thanks for the great birthday wishes. I miss you too. Miss you and love you too. Or should I say, hey, my birthday's in January, but I'll pass along your wishes to Bruce. I know you love and miss him as well.
I think you don't say anything.
Nothing?
Because what's going to happen is Facebook is going to remind her when it's your birthday, and she's already going to feel embarrassed. You don't need to add to that.
Well, I don't want her. I don't want her to think that she's losing her mind. He just had a birthday in September. Wait a minute, he's having another birthday? Am I? You know, I don't want her to worry. I'd rather. I don't know.
So you'd rather embarrass her than make her worry?
Well,
you got to weigh the emotions here.
How do I tell her without embarrassing her?
Well, that's a good question.
Right? I can do that. I can tell her without embarrassing
her. But you're asking the wrong person because I have zero people skills.
Oh, come on. Really? Zero?
Zero. Point
okay.
Zero.
So if a relative of yours got your birthday wrong, would you not tell them? Would
no.
you avoid the social awkwardness of letting them know that didn't know your birthday?
And I would say thank you. I appreciate your well wishes. I'm not going to say anything about that.
Okay. Well, even for your lack of people skills, you're a better man than me because I want to shame my own aunt.
I'm
That's
just
a horrible
tactful.
Thing.
I don't want to create static with anybody because then they'll just throw it back at me. So I just leave it alone.
That's fair. Okay. Well, I'll when I'm off, I'll write back to her and say, hey, thanks so much. I miss you too. It was great seeing you last summer. Thanks for the mixed drink. You were wonderful. So as Lisa pointed out, the first weekend of fall, when we have just a wonderful sports weekend, you know, the Seahawks are home looking for win number two, home win number two, taking on the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. And the Huskies open Pac-12 schedules, Pac-12 play tomorrow night at Husky Stadium or Alaska Airlines Field at Husky Stadium. Let's give proper sponsored credit where proper sponsored credit is due. They paid a lot of money for that. And apparently with I-90 closed for joint repair, is that what that is it, right? Expansion joint repair. That's why they've got an original expansion joint, if I heard Sully right, that needs all lanes closed to make that repair. So if you're going to the Husky game, you don't have I-90 as an access. So I leave now for tomorrow night's Husky Stanford game. I leave right now. I'd get in the car. I'd pack the kids up. I'd grab the stuff. I'd grab the seat cushions, the blankets, and leave now. If we're going to the Seahawks game on Sunday, I leave now. Yeah, I leave now as well. On Sunday, I'm kidding. It's going to be a mess. And the joint on the expansion joints on I-5, that's still happening. I was caught in that yesterday evening, or late last night. I guess it was after 11. By the time I had to go down and grab somebody at the airport and bring them home and figured, well, you know, I know they're working on I-90. I mean, excuse me, I know they're working on I-5, but I should be able to. I should have slipped through now, right? It's like 11 o'clock at night. There can't be any traffic now at 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday night. But no, it was an absolute cluster. I stopped at Boeing Field, basically, as people emerged from 4 to 3 to 2 to one lane. Everything goes down to one lane, then takes an exit, because at the point where I-5 crosses under the convention center, everything's completely closed. And we all take an off-ramp and then get back on the freeway so they can do this work. And I understand the work needs to be done. You pick the least intrusive time. There's not much choice you have. You know, what, are you going to shut it down from 7 to or 6 to 10 in the morning on a weekday? No, of course not. You pick the least intrusive time. But it was pretty damn intrusive. It took me an hour to get from Boeing Field to Lake Union last night at 11 o'clock. But the worst part of the experience, Matt, was, you know, you want to be a good citizen and you want to, you know, merge when it says to merge. And people keep going past you in the lane that's already closed because it's not blocked. And it's the where do you zipper? What's the proper mechanism for zippering when you merge lanes? And after you've waited in line for 30 minutes, you know, literally crawling at less than 2 miles per hour, and people keep passing you in the lane that's already been closed, I just got furious. At one point, I pulled like half into the lane so folks couldn't go around me. And the guy, I got getting all mad. And I finally come up to the point where the barrels actually start to cross the lane, you know, so they can't go past me on the left any further. And I get back in my lane and four more cars zipped past me to force their way in. And then, you know, you get up there and somebody lets him in. I'm like, and I'm yelling at the car, let him in. Why are you letting him in? We've been here for 40 minutes. These guys pulled up 2 seconds ago. What's the proper etiquette there? Am I supposed to let him in? Am I the bad guy for not wanting them to merge all the way at the front? I think that's an East Coast thing. When you zipper, you don't zipper 5 miles back. You zipper where your lane ends. You know, I think if I hadn't done the zipper 20 minutes ago thing, I probably wouldn't have been upset if I had been the last guy zippering in up at the far end of the closed lane. But I didn't. I did the right thing. I thought I was being a good citizen. And these people and I gave my serenity away. I did.
Good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, I guess. At one point, I'm in my lane and people are passing me using that lane. So I've got my arm out my open window, giving them the official bird of New Jersey salute as they drive past me in my lane. I'm thinking, God, you are such a door. I'm such an idiot. Why am, you know, I'm the bad guy at this point. I'm the guy that's all worked up flipping people off in traffic because they're the ones probably doing it right.
And I was, with your luck, somebody's going to recognize, say, hey, isn't that the guy on the radio?
Yeah, that's why I drive a completely unmarked vehicle. I took all the Cairo News Radio stickers off my
Thank God you weren't doing it in the station van.
In the station van. Wow, that'd be a good, yeah. The Cairo News Radio's van was flipping people off on I-5 today. And the other news, there's an opening from 7 to 10 p.m. for it's going to be tough weekend traffic-wise. You know, it's going to be tough whether you're going to the football games, either one of them, or just trying to get around town. And I'm kind of amazed that with 90 shut down and 520 your only option, short of going up around the top or bottom of the lake, which you can do, but that's a major detour. It's a major inconvenience. That's why we built the bridges in the first place. Right? Right. If they're shutting down 90, why are they still charging us for 520? Shouldn't that be, you know, hey, our bad. Let's make everybody, you know, let's help ease your pain a little bit by making 520 no charges this weekend.
Well, that would be nice, but, you know, who in the decision-making process at that stage cares about being nice? They got to get their money. What is that Snoop Dogg says? You got to get yours, but fool, I got to get mine. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I know things are tight anyway because everyone's budget has been zapped because businesses were closed for a couple of years and business wasn't moving for a couple of years and we lost a lot of tax revenue. We lost a lot of tax base, and so everybody's hurting for jingle. I get that. This is not the time for the state to do something nice financially for the commuters of the area. But when you're making us all take the toll bridge, because, you know, we usually don't. We usually take 90 because it's more convenient for us. We're not purposely avoiding the toll. It's just a better bridge for us, and now it's not there, so we got to pay. That just doesn't seem right. Seems like they should at least give us this week. And if you're going to take away our free option, at least and maybe reduce the rate. I don't know, do something. But they're not doing anything.
One texter suggests the light rail, if that's an option for some people, might be a good idea.
Yeah, that, you know, it is. It's always a good idea to take mass transit in the city if you're doing a ball game. But that isn't, that's a whole day. When you decide to take mass transit into a sporting event, that's a whole day's worth of decision make right there. You're in big time. I see folks lining up after the Husky games for all the buses that are there, getting people in and out of Montlake to various destinations. And it's a good system, works really well. And without it, I can't imagine them, the single vehicle traffic that would come into these games without the mass transit options for us.
A lot of people also eager to teach you how to merge.
Yeah, I bet they are. So what is the, I didn't look at the text because I'm.
Well, several are suggesting you talk to our resident expert, Sully, to properly learn this skill. If you would like to read his tips for dealing with the closures this weekend, just go to mynorthwest.com. You'll find a complete write-up there.
Well, I see texts going both directions here, though, Matt. Texts are saying I should learn how people go all the way up to the barrels and then merge. I also see people texting in to say, merge when the lane arrows say merge, which is what I did. Because when folks go all the way to the very far end, that's what makes it take longer. Because every car going through the gap has now let 2, 3, 4 cars in. Oh, yeah. I should get Sully on anyway. We should get Sully on because I heard a report he did about lane splitting.
Yes.
The other day. And as a motorcycle rider in this town, this is the live fire.
Indeed it is.
A lot of people think Bruce can't sing. I'm not one of them. Anyway, happy birthday, Bruce. 73 years old today. Lots to talk about tonight, more so than just my personal troubles. I appreciate all the input on the merging, people. Thank you very much. 888-973-5476. We'll be back right after these, everybody. This isn't Springsteen.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. Right, for the texters out there who aren't Bruce fans, and I get it. Like I said, I understand he's not. This isn't one of his strongholds of support. Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, not the Black Stripes. White Stripes, Black Keys. I can't keep these new bands. I can't keep it straight.
You're losing your hipster cred by the second.
Yeah, it was such a deep well to dip into to begin with. My hipster cred. That's funny. So this song, by the way, is a staple in sporting events. Seven Nation Army is huge at sporting events because the whole, the crowd, this is a big crowd number. I know my brother was a season ticket holder for the Baltimore Ravens before he relocated to the Northwest. Big with Ravens fans, Seven Nation Army. A lot of different ballparks take part in that. And it's a good time to bring up this story. It's from the Seattle Seahawks. And we all know that the Lumen Field crowd, the 12s, are among the loudest in the world. And there was some controversy a while back when we had registered a record in Seattle for the largest, the loudest crowd noise, biggest home field advantage, loudest crowd noise, Guinness Book of World Records. Kansas City went out and beat the record, but I will continue to poke skepticism at the way they measured and recorded their decibel reading at Arrowhead Stadium. They literally put microphones right in front of like the loudest screaming one person they could and had that person in on top of a crowd noise moment scream directly into a microphone to kick it past the level that at that time CenturyLink, now Lumen Field, had put forth. Anyway, I bring it up because crowd noise is a factor for the Seahawks. It should be this Sunday. when the Hawks take on the Falcons, 0-2 Falcons. You saw that difference it made when the team played in Santa Clara last week as opposed to week one. And true, the Broncos and Niners are different teams to be facing. But when the home field is not at your disposal and working against you, it makes things tough. The Seahawks know that crowd noise is a huge part of their game. And the folks at Lumen Field know that crowd noise can be overwhelming to a certain group of fans. Now, when I first saw the story, I felt like it seemed kind of, first thing I want to do is make jokes. That's my nature. I'm still, in my heart, 12 years old. I always will be. But when I read into the story, I thought this was a very wonderful thing that the Hawks are doing. The Seahawks, on Friday, unveiled their sensory room at Lumen Field. And what the sensory room is, it's a place that fans can go when they become overwhelmed by crowd noise, by stimulation, whether it's crowds themselves, the noise of the 12s, the lights of a big game or concert. And the Seahawks have put together an area where fans can go, and for 15-minute intervals during the course of a game or concert, fans can go there and just tune it down. And, you know, my first thought was, because, again, I'm immature and going to be 12 for the rest of my life, well, isn't that what they're doing with the Seahawks offense is lowering the noise level? But come on. This is a serious issue. Karen Wilkins-Mickey is the vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion for the Hawks. They've got an office of diversity, equity, and inclusion. That right there tells you these are good members of our community. The Seattle Seahawks are good members of our community. They say the folks, Karen Wilkins-Mickey, she's the vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's for fans who have some PTSD issues, and a lot of us do these days, whether we know it or not. People who are on the autism spectrum, and more of us have come to realize that we or a family member, usually a child, has some issues, and they're on the spectrum, and that loud noises, crowds, bright lights can be overwhelming. So folks can go to customer service relations at CenturyLink Field and find out about the availability of this. And it's a good idea if you've got a small child. In fact, team general manager, John Schneider and his wife Tracy, their son Ben is on the spectrum. And that's one of the reasons they sought this out, because people who have family members who deal with either PTSD or a bit of autism on the spectrum, they want their family members to be able to enjoy all the things they do. And sometimes when you want to take your little one or, you know, your dad with PTSD or whatever on the spectrum to the game, and it can be overwhelming, you want to know that there's a place where you can go and get a little relief. I think it's wonderful.
A lot of people take shots at things like this, but I think if there's things that are being voluntarily done to make things more inclusive, to give people the chance where if they need a break, they need a quiet space, I think that's great.
Damn straight.
That they're voluntarily offering that to fans, and that means that more people can enjoy the experience of the game at their pace.
Absolutely.
Which is a great thing, that more people can feel comfortable going out to Seahawks games and know that if there's an episode or if there's they need a break, they can utilize this. I think it's awesome.
I do too. And, you know, people will push back, well, then don't go to a game. Well, why would you have to miss such a wonderful part of the Seattle Northwest experience that is Lumen Field? And whether it's for a ball game or a Sounders game or a concert, you know, why should you have to miss out on that part of the great Northwest? Because these sensory moments can be overwhelming for you.
And making these things accessible to more people is a good thing.
It's another resource, another asset to this community. I think it's fantastic. And my initial response to this was like, huh? You know, why go to a game if you have these problems? Well, why shouldn't you be allowed to go to a game? Because you have these issues in your life and these extra things that you just a little bit of effort makes it so that everybody can take part in this experience. And it's fan-freaking-tastic. It really is. You know, Karen Wilkins-Mickey, I want to get that name right, Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the Hawks. Her son is also on the autism spectrum, as is Ben Schneider, John and his wife Tracy's son, Ben. In fact, the room is named after Ben. I think it's freaking awesome. The room is decorated with some of Ben's artwork. There are noise-canceling headphones available, earplugs, sensory toys to help distract or bring someone back down to a calmer state. And, you know, just refocus, you know, rally your resources, get yourself pulled back together and back into the fun.
It's great for parents, too, because, of course, you want to have that experience. You want to go to the game with your family, and it's nice to know that if you have a neurodivergent child or a child that struggles is on the spectrum, that you'll have a safe place.
A safe haven,
that's
yep.
That's great.
There are about 400 employees, stadium staff, that have been trained to recognize when someone may need this resource, and they can spot people in the stands who are having a moment, maybe a young fan or an older fan. And say, hey, you know what? We have the sensory room available. Again, you can reach it and find out about it ahead of time. It'd probably be a good idea to know where it is and find out what you got to do to make sure it's available to you. You can go to the guest services office at the Seahawks at Lumen Field, and they'll show you exactly what's what and how to make use of this thing. And I couldn't be happier that this is happening. And again, I came into this with a skepticism off the my first blush was. To make a joke and poke fun, and why is this necessary? And it seems kind of like a counterproductive to have the loudest stadium in all the NFL have a sensory room, a safe room to get to escape crowd noise. But as I read into the story, I couldn't be prouder of the team and Lumen Field and the facility to take this extra step to make sure that all the fans of this team and all the members of this community have this resource available to them. Fantastic. You know, and if it just gets to be too much, if you can put a little headset, maybe put on this show. If you're at an event at Lumen Field and it's getting to be too exciting, just put some headphones on and put on this show. We'll calm the kid down for you. We'll calm you down.
Yes, we are indeed a soothing on the Seattle
low
population.
Sensory impact experience right here at Cairo Knights. I'm trying to make another joke. I apologize. I feel guilty that my first thought about this story was. This seems kind of like a knucklehead story, but this is a fantastic asset. And hats off. Kudos to the Seahawks and Lumen Field for making this available to everybody.
Low sensory impact, not something you want to hear from a review of someone you dated. 1 out of 5 stars on Yelp.
Yeah,
low sensory experience.
If you could put that in a poem, we'd have a greeting card company, Matt. We'd be all set, man. We'd make $1 zillion.
Oh, like we don't already?
Yeah. It's Cairo Knights. Matt Butler. I'm Spike O'Neill. We'll be back right after these, folks. Thanks for joining us. Don't go anywhere. Cairo Knights, 7:48. I'm Spike O'Neill. That's Matt Butler. If you haven't heard yet, it's Bruce Springsteen's 73rd birthday. My mission tonight is to have the entire city know that it's Bruce Springsteen's birthday before the show's over.
Well, the entire city is listening, of course.
Yeah, and if you've got friends who don't listen to the show, that's okay. We're not for everybody, but they should at least know it's Bruce's birthday. So if you could call your friends who don't know. And tell if you could each call 5 friends and tell them that it's Bruce Springsteen's birthday.
Here's what I tell people about this show. If you love the show, tell a friend. If you can't stand the show, tell an enemy.
Yeah, or just shut your mouth. What'd your mom say? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything. I bring up the Streets of Philadelphia. By the way, Bruce won an Oscar for this song. He's got a Grammy, a Tony, and an Oscar now. I don't know if he has an Emmy yet. I'll have to find out if he's an EGOT. You know what an EGOT is, right? Yeah, that's the big 4: Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. How many EGOT winners are there? I'd have to look it up. But there's not many EGOTs. I know one of the funniest storylines on 30 Rock was that Tracy Morgan's character was trying to become an EGOT. Which is that guy's just Tracy Morgan's genius.
So he did win an Emmy actually in 2001 for Outstanding Variety Music or Comedy Special. So I'm assuming that was a concert film or something.
2001?
Yeah, 2001.
That would have been, I imagine, the post 9/11 tribute show.
Ah.
I'm going to bet that's what that was for, being a Brusophile. Philadelphia has given you your citizens, you citizens of Philly, you Philadelphians, the city of brotherly love, portable toilets. They're going to put up a portable loo, a port-a-loo, a Portland loo. I don't know if the city of Portland's great with that Portland loo reference. But Philadelphia is putting up a public freestanding toilet in one of its busiest downtown sections, one of six they plan to put in by next year. And you're asking yourself, why is Spike talking about Philadelphia putting in a free public toilet? Because first off, it's a good idea, because if you give people a place to go, they probably won't go wherever they are. And, of course, that is the problem in not just Philadelphia but also our city. Thank you, the texter texted me directly. Why are you talking about I want to thank my friend Brian, who listens to the show, who just – I'm one of the five friends he texted to let me know that it's Bruce's birthday. Thanks, Brian. You're the man. You know, we all have a similar interest in making sure our city stays – safe, clean, and sanitary as best as possible. I know it's an impossible ask, but if there were more public facilities in cities, maybe it would go a long way to making sure the city didn't become fouled by people who are, you know, don't have places to be, going where they go without a place to go, if you know what I mean by go, air quotes. The problem is, whenever we do something like this, when we build a nice public facility, it tends to be destroyed. It tends to be vandalized. Is that an inevitability? That if we build something nice for the people of the city who need help the most, who are relying on the kindness of its our fellow citizens and the local government to do something for them to make their lives just a little bit nicer, a little bit more humane, is it an inevitability that that will be destroyed, will be vandalized and ripped apart and shredded or whatever it is? It always seems like, you know, are there any public facilities in this town that are kept nice, that are even usable by standards of folks who have options? I mean, if you don't have an option, you do what you got to do. When I go to parks in the summertime, you hope that the park you're at, if you bring your kids, has a facility that's clean, sanitary, safe. A lot of our parks do. We had a story last week about how they're investing more in the parks of this town. We're going to have more park rangers in this town. We're going to put more money into making sure the parks are safe and clean and usable for our city. They're, of course, going to double the amount each citizen pays toward its parks to do so. But still, I think it's money well spent. Can we build public facilities, public restrooms in this town or any town without having them go straight to the crapper, if you'll pardon the pun?
I liked the addition of the graffiti-resistant walls on these things. I'm just trying to imagine the person that's all amped up. Hey, I'm jazzed. I'm going to go deface some public property. And then you're like, my paint won't stick on the wall. Dang. How frustrating.
I think if the whole world should be covered in graffiti-proof paint. I really do. I heard a debate this morning about whether graffiti is art or vandalism. And we can talk about that because I've got strong opinions on that. I appreciate the texters to 888-973-5476. Any more Bruce? And I'm not in this. Yeah, I don't know whether to love or hate this show, says a texter to the show. But if I hear much more boss talk, white hot hate. I respect your opinions. And I try not to impose my will and my indulgences on you, the city of Seattle.
Stop baiting my inner troll, Texter.
I know. I'm trying. But I appreciate your tolerance of my love of Springsteen. You might not share it, and I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much. We got a lot more to do. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's Cairo Nights.